Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Lord, we do thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Let's give them some encouragement a little bit. We do want to greet everybody that's watching online as well. We're glad you're here with us, like you're here with us as well. Pastor Bruce was saying, my name is Philip Steele. I am the missions pastor, so I get to go on mission once in a while. I've got a little message prepared. It's called Christmas Voices, hearing the voice of the Lord during the Christmas season. And you know, and during this season, there can be several voices that you might start to hear. Like I think of three voices. That first voice can be that voice of fear, like what Pastor Bruce was saying. It can just kind of just grab you, just grabs you. Somebody was asking me a few days ago, the places where you go, is it dangerous? And I was just in Peru, Lima, Peru, and it was the first Sunday of the month, and we'd gone to church and everything, and I was just kind of resting afterwards, and I was looking at the news here in the United States, and that was the news where there was a big shooting, church shooting outside of San Antonio. And my daughter and son-in-law, his parents live outside of San Antonio. And so I'm texting my daughter, and I really don't know. Did they go to church? You know, so I'm texting my daughter, hi from Lima, hope all is well, without really knowing. You know, people ask me, is it dangerous to go down to Peru? Well, that weekend, it was dangerous to be in that specific church outside of San Antonio. At the end of the day, there was 26 people, I think, that died, about 20 more that were injured and everything. And it was, you know, San Antonio, and then my daughter and son-in-law were about an hour this way. And, you know, the church was another 30 minutes the other way. But at the moment, I didn't know. I mean, I'm concerned about, you know, people in the U.S. I mean, it's like fear, it can just grab you like that. You know, that's a voice, even during this Christmas time. Another voice, just kind of the voice of the world. You know, we have Black Friday, we have Cyber Monday, and, you know, did you get all your stuff? You know, are your fingers hurting from Cyber Monday? And, you know, did you go shopping? And, you know, all the things, the attractions and the distractions. You know, we even started to put up some of our Christmas lights. And, you know, we've got a couple trees outside of our house. And we put like one string, you know, just throw it up there. And, you know, kind of one string all the way around. And then we go to the neighbors and they've got probably 10,000 lights. You know, and you kind of wonder sometimes, you know, yeah, Jesus is the light of the world. I know all that, you know, but, you know, how much is really going to be, you know, when is it going to be, you know, the things, you know, did you do all your Christmas shopping as if Black Friday is going to, that thing that you get for your kids, that's really going to make you happy. It's like, how much do you need? You know, the voice of the world can come and grab you. Products that you didn't even know existed. And all of a sudden, they do a good job. They create a need in you, and then you need to buy it, and then you think you're going to be happy. But I've noticed that there's something that happens almost between the cash register and the parking lot. If you go, you know, to the store, you bought it, and then in the store, it's saying, you need me, I'll make your life happy, I'm going to be your savior. And then you buy it, and before you get to your car, this little thing that you thought was going to save you is telling you, I'm not going to save you, you need to get another one. Or the same thing can happen if you buy online. You know, you do that click, and then there's a time when it appears at your door, and then it appears at your door, and then you realize, this thing ain't going to save me. It's just like, what did I put all my hope in this? You know, that voice of the world. And then there's another voice of just kind of general condemnation, just that you'll never be good enough. Like if I compare my house lights to my neighbor's house lights, I'm lost. It's like, I'll never be good enough. You know, and then was the turkey for Thanksgiving, was that as good as it used to be at grandmother's? You know, was your Thanksgiving as perfect? And we can get into this condemnation and all these different voices that would come upon us. And I'd like to go into some of the Christmas texts. So we're going to look in the book of Luke chapter 6. I know we're still in November, but it's after Thanksgiving and all the Christmas decorations are up here in the church anyway. So we're in Christmas season. I've declared it. And this is Zechariah. This is the father of John the Baptist. He had been mute, I guess is the word. He hadn't been able to speak for like 9 months. The angel came to him and said, you're going to have a son. He said, well, how's this going to be? And the angel said, listen, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord. How dare you question me? You're not going to be able to speak until this child is born. And so he had to do, you know, with a chalkboard or some kind of writing utensil or something. And then all of a sudden the son is born and he starts to speak. And this prophecy, if you really look at it as well, there hadn't been a prophetic word in the sense of, you know, scripture level prophecy for 400 years. So this is a big deal. It's like the Lord is coming to speak to his people again. There's these dreams and visions and angels, and you know, Mary has her vision as well. But this is Luke chapter 1, verse 67. This is when Zechariah, he starts, his tongue is loosed. And so we're going to examine what he actually said here, okay? So if you can follow with me, I think we've got it on the screen. And I'm asking all our tech people as well to put my notes up online, because I'm going to go through a lot of different verses and stuff. So if you don't catch it all, go back, and hopefully it'll be as a PDF that you can get it, because I think there'll be some good resources as we get into this. Luke 1, 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So he's starting to prophesy. And a prophecy can be a forthtelling. Prophecy can be, you know, just declaring what God has already declared. Prophecy can be even a prophetic praise unto the Lord. I think Zechariah has all three of these. And he started to say, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and we should from the hand of all those who hate us. Let's pause right there. If we go back to that earlier one, we'd be saved from the hand of our enemies. You got to realize that Israel had been occupied by the Roman Empire during this time. So obviously there is a level of, you know, the enemies, you know, that would, but I think also, you know, I think you can take it both ways. The physical enemies, the Roman Empire, you know, we could talk about certain countries that are making threats all the time, you know, start with an N and a K, you know, that certain enemies that would, but as well, there are spiritual enemies that would try to just grab you, that we being saved from the hand of all those who hate us. 72, to show the mercy of the promise to our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him. And this is where I want to go. This is what I'm going to try to emphasize here. We might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. So what I want to do is go through that when it says serve him. You know, amongst all the voices, the voice of fear, the voice of condemnation, the voice of the world, that we could really hear his voice and serve him, really serve the Lord, you know, without fear, that we could serve the Lord in holiness. That's why I want to talk about that a little bit, and serve the Lord in righteousness. And that's why I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna go pretty deep into like the no fear and in righteousness. That's why I'm saying we're gonna hopefully put these notes up online so you can get them. I do wanna give you an impartation of faith, but it would be good for you to go back over these verses, like what Pastor Bruce has been talking about. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. You need to remind God, or remind yourself who he is. And as we talk to him about his promises, you know, instead of, you know, sometimes we mutter and we say, well, I'm no good. I'm just terrible at this. You know, I can't. And why don't we just say what he's already said about us and say who he is as well? Let's look at this thing about fear. Fear really entered in at the very beginning in the fall, the rebellion, it's better to say, in Genesis chapter 3. You know, the Lord went and visited Adam and Eve after the fall, and he said, where are you? What are you doing? And Adam responded. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid. So sin came in and fear came in. Right there. That's where it starts, right there, that we're separated from God. Fear comes in because I was afraid, because I was naked, I hid myself. Fear comes in the fall, and the sin, the rebellion, And then fear is destroyed. Everybody say destroyed. Destroyed. Say it louder. You got to mean it. Destroyed. Destroyed at the cross. Let's look at Hebrews. This is where Jesus comes in, and he is the solution, excuse me, to our great problem of sin. Therefore, the children share in flesh and blood. He himself, likewise, Jesus, likewise, partook of the same things. Jesus was made, God was made a man in Christ Jesus. He suffered. He was tempted. He was hungry. You know, he felt rejection. He felt everything that we felt. That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, in verse 15, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That fear that comes upon you can make you a slave. And even in a sense, preparing for this message over the last few days, just kind of praying and saying, Lord, you know, what's going on in the congregation? Lord, what are some of the fears? What would people, you know, some of you have recently received medical reports, maybe not for yourself, but for your children or a loved one. And that fear comes upon, just kind of just tries to grab you like that. And you can be a slave to that. You know, I appreciate the doctors. You know, I'm glad that we can have a, you know, a diagnostic or whatever it might be, all the MRIs, all that kind of stuff. Praise the Lord for that. But then when that fear comes upon you, we need to battle against it. Other people, you're worried, you're fearful for even for your grown children. Your children have gone away from your kind of your nest, and they're probably not flying like what you would like them to fly. And the accuser of the brethren, the author, in a sense, the author of fear would come along and he would try to grab you. Other people, you're worried about the financial situation. You know, there's this fear that would come upon you that there's not going to be enough. And it just tries to grab you like that. Other people, you know, whatever else, that you know, some people, that they know that they need to speak about Jesus in their workplace, amongst their family members, but there's this fear of rejection, there's this fear of what will they say, what will they do, I could lose my job, I could lose my friendship, there's this fear that would come upon you. And Jesus, well, God, even from the beginning, there's so many places where it says, fear not. He comes to Abram. Genesis 15, and he says, fear not, because your reward will be very great. And he comes to Isaac, and he says, fear not. Isaac's father, Abram, had died, and he's in a new land. There had been some contentions about some wells, water wells, which was life and death for them. And the Lord comes along, and he says, fear not, for I am with you. And then the children of Israel are, you know, enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, Moses comes along and starts to deliver them out, and they're getting ready to cross the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is coming after him, and the people are fearful, are we going to go back into slavery, what's going to happen? And Moses has to speak the word of the Lord and says, fear not, you don't have to fight this battle, the Lord is with you, fear not. So church, I would say, fear not. There's so many different verses. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is the new leader. Moses has died and he's got to take these people. Some of you are in leadership positions and you really don't know what's going to happen. Some of you in your family, you're in a leadership position. Others in your workplace. Some people even in the church, you've got this leadership position and you're wondering what to do. How do I take these people into what I believe that I want my family to serve God? I want in my workplace, I want them to serve God. How do I do this? I believe the Lord would say the same thing. Have I not commanded? Did you be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. In other words, fear not. Fear not. Be not dismayed. There can be that dismay that kind of comes upon you, just wants to kind of grab you. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Not just here in church, he's with you wherever you would go. And I love the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then verse 4 of Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Those moments of uncertainty, those moments of the shadow of death, it feels like you're going in somewhere where you just don't know if you're going to come out alive. I will fear no evil because he is with me. His rod and his staff will comfort me. Or how about this one, Psalm 23, though an army encamp against me, though there be threats from afar, and it appears like they might be able to even reach where we are, an army would encamp against us, my heart shall not fear. I don't know if any of us have had, you know, if you're serving in the military, God bless you. We honor you. And we trust in the Lord. Though an army encamped against us, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. Or the one that I really love, that really kind of came home to me, we were on a short-term mission trip to what some people might say was a dangerous country, high level of murder rate in the country. And here we are with a bunch of Americans in this country. This was about 3 years ago. And so, there's this fear that comes upon you. You know, you read the news, you read, what the murder rate is in that country. And I mean, the same thing can happen here in Nashville. You go to the wrong place, Detroit, you go to other places, Chicago, St. Louis, wherever it might be. You know, San Antonio, in the wrong church at the wrong time. So we told people on that mission trip, and we put it in the manual. You know, we have a daily devotion we put at the end. We put Psalm 91. And we told them, we're not going to give in to this fear. And just like you brush your teeth three times a day, we're going to say Psalm 91 three times a day. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And we just had it all written out like that. And then it goes on to say, you will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because I have made the Lord. That's what Pastor Bruce said. Talk to yourself. Because I have made the Lord my refuge and I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, just all of that. And just have it even memorized. That's why I'm saying we're going to put these notes up online so you can have them. You can read those out loud. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. That fear tries to come upon you. You just need to say it out loud. Even at the beginning, it seems like you're fighting against this big giant. But really what it is, it's like the devil has it. He's just like a little mouse, but he's got this light and he's got this big shadow up there. And he tries to intimidate us. But there's something that happens when we start to speak the word of God out of our mouth. We don't give in to that fear. Fear not. Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or even how about the New Testament? You say, well, that's the Old Testament. People say, well, that's the Old Testament. It doesn't apply for us. Yeah, let me tell you, it applies for us. But we can go into the New Testament as well. And this is where I'm putting a few of them up on the screen, but there's a whole lot more in the Bible. We just need to go in and grab it, grab those promises for ourselves. Even from the days of Zechariah, that we might serve him without fear all the days of our life. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery, Romans chapter 8. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, to fall back as a slave to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Even until the last book, the book of Revelation, John saw the Lord in his glory, fell down like a dead man. And the Lord said, do not fear. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. If we have that one on our side, we don't need to fear. My thing is, you need to remind yourself once in a while that he's on our side. Amen? So just as Zechariah said, when John the Baptist was born and he opened up his mouth prophesying, he was praising the Lord that we might serve him. We don't have to listen to that voice of fear. We can serve him without fear, in holiness, than what he said. Now, what is this thing of holiness? What does that mean? Holiness is being set apart for God's use. I'll get into righteousness or justification in a minute, but holiness is like a lifelong process that the Lord takes us. He starts the work, and then we're becoming more and more like him. You know, I said the voice of the world, the Cyber Monday, and you know, all the beauty of the moment, the superficial beauty. You know, but there's something, there's a deeper internal beauty that you have to kind of look twice to see. And we can serve him in holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, the passion of I need a little bit more, the passion of if I had this, I'll be satisfied, the passion. But as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And I see this, you know, I know it's a command to be holy, but I also see it as an invitation that he would say, you can be holy as I'm holy. I'm inviting you. That's a promise. You will be holy, even as I am holy. If you call on him who is Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear through the time of your exile. Let me just pause here when it says, it does say fear here. Going back a little bit to the fear thing, there are two different kinds of fear, like what Pastor Rice says. There's a good fear, like cholesterol, a good fear and a bad fear. There's a good fear of the Lord. There's a healthy fear. You know, even I think of, you know, sometimes natural fear of heights, you know, it's a caution that we have. No, I don't want to be paralyzed by it, that I wouldn't even want to go up onto this. But I'll have a respect for height. I'll have a respect for that double yellow line that I'm not going to go across it, because, yeah, you can get in trouble. Yeah, just you don't have to be paralyzed to the point of you're not going to drive anywhere. But there's a respect. There's a respect for the Lord. There's a fear of the Lord. Conduct yourselves with fear. I really like what C.S. Lewis said one time. He said, how little people know who think that holiness is dull. You Christians are so boring. You're just dull. It's just like you just go to church. You don't have any fun. Let's just have fun. You know, you talk about all these rules and you can't do anything. You can't have any fun. We just want to have fun. How little people know who think that holiness is dull. But when one meets the real thing, the real holiness, it's irresistible. There's something about that person of holiness. I was up in Minnesota a couple weeks ago, and I was with a friend. He's been one of our ministry partners now for 30 years. He started when he was 65 years old. Yeah, do the numbers. He's 95 years old. And he's walked with the Lord. He received the Lord when he was 12 years old. So he's walked with the Lord for 83 years. You know, we're sitting there talking and sitting in his living room. And he says his wife passed away a few years ago. And he says, you know, it's different now, but I get up in the morning and I have my, you know, my devotional time. He gets the little book that he's reading, his devotional time. And then he says, and then I sit down in this chair. We were sitting kind of in his living room. I sit down in this chair and I read the word and I pray. I pray for you every day. And then he says, sometimes it's just like 2 hours go by and I don't know where the time went. And we were conversing and we mentioned somebody that he had brought up the last time I was with him, a friend, and it turned out that friend didn't know the Lord. And we just spontaneously started a prayer time right there, just in the presence of the Lord. You know, I want to walk in that kind of holiness. Holiness for me is not something that I demand of other people so much as I try to demand of myself. Holiness is, it's not when I pray, you know, Lord, let my wife be holy. Let her be sensitive to my needs. It's when I pray, Lord, let me be sensitive to her needs. It's an internal thing. Oswald Chambers said it this way. He said, the destined end of man is not happiness nor health. We could probably even add in nor wealth, but holiness. God's one aim is for the production of saints. You know, saints not being, you know, people that have passed away and they've been declared a saint, but a saint is somebody that's been set apart for God's use. You know, I know it's always going to be a balance between being in the world, and we're in this world. You know, you got to go to the grocery store, you got to get gas, whatever you got to do, but we're not supposed to be of this world. And somehow Zechariah said that we would be able to serve him, serve God, without fear, in holiness, all the days of our life. And then the other little thing that he said that I want to go into a little bit, he said we would be able to serve him without fear, in holiness, and in righteousness. So what is this thing of righteousness, right standing with God, that we could be with him, that we could have that access? I think of my son's 18 now. He's studying at Cookeville, Tennessee Tech. And so we're, in a sense, we're empty nesters. And so when my son comes back, it's like, you know, those of you who have your sons, your children have, you know, moved on or whatever, but when they come back for Thanksgiving, it's like you want to spend time with them. You want to do anything that you can just to spend time with them. And I asked my son, hey, can you help me go up into the attic and bring down the Christmas decorations? You know, just help. Now, I asked him, and we kind of worked together on that, you know, and I have him help me along. I just like to spend time with him. You know, and it's not that I ask him to help me so that he will be my son or so that he will maintain his status as my son. Because he already is, we spend time together. You know, because we already are children of God in Christ Jesus. You know, just as fear came into the world through sin, and Jesus is the response, Jesus is the solution to man's problem of fear as well. Jesus is the solution to man's problem of sin. Romans 3:23, many of us know this. It's a good verse to use for evangelizing and to reaching out to people who don't know the Lord. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, we've heard that before, and we recognize that everybody has sinned. But then the next verse, we are justified by His grace. Everybody say grace. Grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of us, when we get, I don't know if you've started out all your Christmas shopping, if you've done all the Black Friday stuff and got your Christmas shopping done, how many of us would go to our children and we would say, okay, son, here's your Christmas gift, but you owe me $50. Anybody ever done that before? Hope not. Here's your Christmas gift, you owe me $25. You don't do that. That's not a gift. A gift costs me as a parent. It's supposed to be, the idea is it's free for my kids, right? Yeah. And so the gift of righteousness that we have, it cost God the Father His Son. It cost Jesus His life. But we are justified. When it says we are justified, just as if I had never sinned, as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's Jesus is our Savior. He is the one that causes us to be redeemed, to be bought back. And then there's another one, 2 Corinthians. There's so many, just like I went through a bunch of the fear nots, and there's a whole lot more of fear nots. In the same way, there's a whole lot more of the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus, because that voice of condemnation, that voice of you'll never do enough, that voice of your Thanksgiving meal wasn't good enough, that voice of your children aren't as good as the neighbor's children, that voice of you don't have the right kind of car, that voice of rejection, that voice of even the voice of comparison to others. We need to replace that voice with the voice of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, who didn't know sin. Jesus lived a perfect life, never sinned. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in Him, say together, in Him, it's in Jesus, it's not in me, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's it. You know, I said one out of Romans, another one out of Corinthians. If you want to go through Galatians. If you want to go through, you know, all these other Philippians and Colossians. There's just like there's fear not all over the Bible. The same thing, the doctrine of justification, that we're righteous. See, justification happens in an instant. When I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, when I was 18 years old at the University of Minnesota, I passed from death into life. A week before, I knew that if I would have died in that unsaved spiritual condition, I knew that I would have gone straight to hell. Just got to say it. I was separated from God. But then when I received Jesus, I passed from death into life. It happens in an instant. Now, the holiness, sanctification, is a lifelong process. That He who began a good work in me, as I cooperate with Him, as I listen to His voice, you know, and He is working in me to both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, so it's got that there's a difference, but sometimes we get confused between justification, which is instantaneous once for all, and sanctification, which is a lifelong process. Justification, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been 100% justified. Now, the level of sanctification is going to vary depending upon how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Are you following with me? Justification is we've been made righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then the sanctification, that's a life, we're working that out. Even the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, you know, not that I've obtained it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I look for that presence of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. But I do believe, like what Zechariah said, that we can serve him without fear. No fear. That's that stuff when it kind of grabs you. It just wants to grab you like that. No fear. In holiness, set apart from the world. You know, that we don't need all the things, all the lights and all the whistles and bells and the newest thing. And, you know, our children are not going to be happy. What they need is the presence of God more than all the new toys and everything. Like, I mean, you can give them toys, all that kind of stuff, but realize that that toy is not going to be the savior of their life. It's going to be Jesus. That we can serve him in righteousness. We don't have to compare ourselves to other people. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have received, not those who have achieved. So much it seems like it's done by our achievement. We grade ourselves. We think that we're good or bad depending on how much we've achieved, but it's those who've received the gift of righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. Now, what should our reaction be? To serving him, having all the promises that we can serve him without fear, that we can serve him in holiness, in righteousness. I think our reaction should be the same as Zechariah, even at the beginning of his prophetic word in Luke 1:68, when he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us." It was a visitation. He has redeemed us. He's brought us back. These words are just so rich. He has raised up for us a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. There's that horn, that strength of the animal in the horn. It's the Messiah, the Jesus, our Christ. He's raised up that strength for us in Christ. The natural reaction, as we know the promises of God, the natural reaction as we hear of who Jesus is and what he's done, the natural reaction should be just to praise him. Just to praise him. Let's just close our eyes just for a moment. And especially I'm sensing, you know, if you've come here for the first time, second time, maybe you're watching online and you've never received Jesus, you've never received the gift of salvation. The Christmas gift that you need is the gift of Jesus. God already paid the price, sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. Maybe you're here in this auditorium, maybe you're watching online, but it's time for you just to receive Jesus. You can do it just by saying, "Jesus, I need you." Just right where you are, just go ahead and just talk to God. He's going to hear you. Just say, "Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I pray that you would come into my life. Change me, make me into a new person. And I confess Jesus is my Lord. Thank you, Lord." Others, you've been struggling with fear. There's been this fear that has come upon you. You need to continue to resist and to fight against fear. It will try to come upon you. It will try to dominate you. It will try to enslave you, whether it's fear of the future, fear of even of family relationships that could be broken, that have been broken. Some of you fear for your children, fear for financial situations, fear of medical condition. Lord, I pray for those who would be struggling with different fears. You know us, Lord, and you've suffered for us. Even by your stripes, we have been healed. Pray your grace would be upon us, O Lord. And I pray even that there would be a quickening, a revelation from your word, that we could stand with the scripture, stand with the Bible verse, that the Holy Spirit, even right now, would quicken a Bible verse. For those watching online, that the Holy Spirit would quicken a Bible verse for them to use as the sword of the Spirit when that fear would come upon them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For others who have listened to that voice of condemnation, you've listened to a voice of even of comparison. And it seems like you always come up short. Know that Jesus paid the price for you. That if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the righteousness of God. You cannot get more righteous than being the very righteousness, the very justification that Jesus imparts to us. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's through our faith in Him. Lord, I pray for your people that they could stand strong. Stand strong against fear. Stand strong against even the condemnation. Stand strong in our righteousness, God. Thank you, Lord, for these people. But I pray that we could listen to your voice during this Christmas season, oh God. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive. Help us even to be aware of the other voices and to always have our ear attuned to your voice, I pray. In Jesus' name.